This episode of Clearview Today is brought to you by Le Bleu Ultra Pure Water. David, how many bottles of water do you think you drink a day?
Well, actually, I only drink Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew, Strawberry Yoo-Hoo, and the occasional Pepto-Bismol.
Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew? Do they even make that anymore?
Fun fact, no. I have to make my own with McDonald's Sprite, and you guessed it, Texas Pete.
I am genuinely horrified to hear that.
Me too.
You know, unlike other bottled waters, Le Bleu water only has two ingredients, hydrogen and oxygen. Nothing more, nothing less. Le Bleu's award-winning ultra-pure water is the result of their patent-pending five steps beyond Mother Nature process, which eliminates the inorganic materials and creates uniquely pure water, free of contaminants and perfectly balanced and fresh tasting.
And Le Bleu produces only the highest quality, ultra-pure bottled water on the market. You can get them in 1 liter, 1.5 liters, 12 ounces, 20 ounces, or even in the 3 to 5 gallon water coolers. And best of all, Le Bleu Central conveniently delivers this pure refreshment right to your home or office.
That's right. Le Bleu delivers our water coolers right here to Clearview Church every single month like clockwork. And it's not just water. Le Bleu supplies the finest gourmet coffees, teas, and hot chocolates to accommodate every preference in your office. I'm talking Green Mountain, Starbucks, Krispy Kreme, Donut Shop. So whether you're looking for the perfect brew for yourself or for your workplace, Le Bleu has got you covered.
You can visit their website today at MyLeBleu, that's MyLeBleu.com, and use promo code TODAY, that's TODAY, for a 10% discount at checkout. Every single purchase you make using that promo code helps us here at the Clearview Today Show and gets you one step closer to the purest, most refreshing water you've ever tasted.
Thank you to Le Bleu for sponsoring this episode. Now let's start the show.
Where's my Mountain Dew?
You're listening to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm Ryan Hill.
I'm John Galantis.
And you can find us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Or if you have any questions for Dr. Shah or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028. Or you can email us at contact@clearviewtodayshow.com.
That's right. We want you guys to help us keep the conversation moving forward by supporting the show. You can share it online with your friends and family. Leave us a good 5-star review on iTunes or Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasting content from. We're going to do you a solid. Leave a little link right there in the description so you can do just that.
I have this like rasp in my voice now. I don't know if it's a permanent thing, but I'm going to like maybe just do some like vocal fry. Like,
looks like
Clearview Today Show.
One of the things I've always liked about... If I Were You podcast, I'd do that a lot. Like everything's just kind of...
No, I'm not going to do that.
Nothing's really important.
Yeah, not going to do
that. Just kind of talk about it like this. Hey, I had a question posed to me by someone here in the church that they wanted us to talk about on the show. And it was the most underrated condiment.
Ooh.
I guess they were eating a sandwich that they thought deserved
underrated
more.
Underrated condiment.
I think they were eating a meal that maybe they thought deserved more attention than it was getting.
Okay.
I don't understand being jealous over the amount of attention your meal gets, but they said, you should talk about the most underrated condiments. And I was like, that's kind of dumb. But then I started thinking, I was like, what condiments are underrated? Like A1?
I don't know. I feel like A1's pretty popular.
But it's the best condiment.
It is narrow
it's like
in
the
its
best
application,
sauce.
But it's pretty, that doesn't mean it gets underrated though.
Yeah,
underrated is like it's good, but people don't recognize that it's good.
But every time I talk, but I guess so. But every time I talk about liking A1
like
on my fries,
chup. Ew, I don't like mayo chup. I just
my wife loves mayo chup.
Now I'll eat mayonnaise and ketchup on things, but don't give me mayo chup. That
What's
looks
the
like
difference?
Congealed Pepto Bismol.
What's the difference? You just don't want to. You don't want to buy a pre-made mayo chup.
Oh, yeah,
Ellie's that way. She won't buy the pre-made mayo chup, but she loves mayonnaise and ketchup.
I'll eat it together.
Ew.
Sure. Now here, I'll give you.
Do y'all like mayo chup?
Here's an underrated.
Gross.
Here's an underrated. I'll give you a commercial one, and then one you can get in the store. Okay. So commercial.
What does that mean? Commercial.
Like you get it from a restaurant.
Oh, okay, okay.
So at Chick-fil-A sauce, I'm not, not Chick-fil-A sauce, no. At Chick-fil-A, I'm not talking about Chick-fil-A sauce.
Okay.
The spicy sweet sriracha, dynamite. So delicious.
That's a good underrated condiment.
It is the perfect blend of spicy and sweet. It's the perfect texture. It goes well in fries. It goes well with chicken. It is delicious.
Is ranch underrated?
No, ranch is...
Everybody
one
likes
of the
ranch.
Most popular condiments.
Yeah. I don't really like
another
ranch.
One that I would say that I've recently been turned on to is Japanese mayo.
What is that? Japanese mayo?
Yeah.
I'm gonna
they call it Kewpie mayonnaise.
Kewpie? Hold Kewpie. On one second. Spell it.
K-E-W-P-I-E mayo.
Okay. Ew.
Yeah, it's good.
Ew.
It's mayonnaise, but it has kind of a, it's got kind of like a seafood flavor to
500 it. 500 grams of fat?
What? You don't eat the whole thing.
Oh, okay. It's got like a seafood, it tastes like seafood Japanese mayo.
It's kind of like a saltiness, but yeah, it's good.
No, it tastes different than, oh, I got an underrated.
It tastes different than mayonnaise.
I got an underrated
condiment.
It's
definitely mayonnaise. Like, you know you're eating mayonnaise, but it tastes slightly different. I like it.
I got an underrated condiment right stinking now.
Okay.
Miracle Whip.
I grew up on Miracle Whip.
I love Miracle Whip.
I grew up on Miracle Whip, and I cannot stand it.
You don't like it?
No, I don't like it. It's too sweet.
It's very sweet.
It's too sweet.
It tastes better than that nasty Duke's mayonnaise.
No.
All hot and sour in your mouth, like just saturated lard fat. No, you need some nice, good classy. You need good class. Miracle Whip is classy. You know what? Miracle Whip's not even a condiment. Miracle Whip's a salad dressing. People be eating that on salad. I don't know if they eat on salad, but it's a dressing.
I grew up eating Miracle Whip. I thought that was all mayonnaise was.
In fact, you're good. You're good.
Until I was introduced to Hellman's.
Oh, what is Hellman's?
Mayonnaise.
No, Duke's is what it is.
No.
It's called Duke's.
There is a Duke's, but there's also a Hellman's.
Hellman's mayonnaise?
Yeah. Look it up.
Yeah, I'm looking it up right now. I've never heard of such of a thing.
Right there.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, I've seen it. Yeah. Hellman's.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like if there's a man in hell, he's eating that mayonnaise. I've never. I would say Miracle Whip. Miracle Whip is also in the blue bottle. But I had today for lunch, I had a bologna sandwich with hot spicy brown mustard and Miracle Whip.
I do love some spicy brown mustard.
I don't even eat regular mustard no more. All my mustard is the spicy brown.
You know what's good? Dijon mustard.
Yes, it is. I love Dijon mustard. My mom always used to get me the cracker, the Hill Ridge Farms or the Hillshire, whatever, those Christmas boxes with the summer sausage.
With the hot
mustard and stuff.
So good.
Hey,
Never out of style.
We're about to head on into the break, but I wanted to let you know the secret word of the day is yours, my friend. The secret word that we're trying to get past Dr. Shaw is intransigent.
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 These words are tough.
It's a formal word that describes a person who refuses to compromise or abandon an extreme position or attitude. If you're joining the show for the first time, or you maybe you're coming back, we've started a new segment called The Secret Word. Shh, it's a secret. We're trying to get this word past Dr. Shaw in our conversation today. And if he calls us out, we have to be publicly shamed. But we haven't done it yet. But if we're able to get that word past him, I guess we just kind of win the secret word game.
You just kind of high five yourself for that day.
Intransigent. That's your word, Ryan.
Intransigent. All right.
We'll do it. Hey. Hey, you.
Me?
No, not you. You, listening to the Clearview Today Show. You're here right now because you love Christian talk radio, and I'm 100% down for that. But what if I told you that Clearview Church also produces original music?
That's right. At Clearview, we're more than just a church. We're a vibrant family where everyone is encouraged to worship God right where they are.
We wanted to make sure that your worship doesn't stop when you walk out the door on Sunday morning.
Our music is more accessible than ever. You can worship God in any situation, in the car, at home, in the gym, while cleaning your house, wherever you are, we'll be right there with you.
You can check us out on Apple Music or on Spotify, anywhere digital music is consumed. We got a few singles out right now. We have an EP out as well. And right now, at this moment, actually, we are working on our first ever full-length original album. Hopefully that's going to be out sometime this coming summer.
Clearview Worship on iTunes and Spotify is your 24/7 place for inspiration and worship. Follow us today and let God's message of hope, love, and faith be a guiding light in your life.
Amen. Let's hop back into the show.
Welcome back to Clearview Today with Dr. Abadan Shah, the daily show that engages mind and heart for the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com, or if you have any questions or suggestions for new topics, send us a text to 252-582-5028.
That's right. We're here once again in the Clearview Today studio with Dr. Abadan Shah, who's a PhD in New Testament textual criticism. Dr. Shah, what do you think is the most underrated condiment that you've ever eaten on your food? Underrated condiment, something that you know you love, but you feel like it doesn't get the respect it deserves.
Underrated condiment.
Mm.
Like I said A1, but everybody said that A1 is the number.
It's pretty popular.
Yeah, I know you're a Heinz 57
I'm a Heinz 57 guy, but would I say that's the most underrated condiment? I don't know.
What are condiments that you would put on like food when you were growing up that you feel
growing up?
Yeah.
I mean, all kinds of chutneys were there. Relishes were there.
Yeah. So that we don't know.
You probably never heard of. Yeah. I probably never will.
So if it weren't for New Girl, I know your daughters actually got me and Ellie into watching New Girl. And every time I hear chutney, I think of Schmidt going, chutney. Like he always really he pronounces the T. It's a cream based chutney.
Oh yeah.
What is chutney?
Chutney is like it's almost like
David said mango chutney.
Yeah, there is mango. Nicole. Libna made it just a couple of days ago when she was here. It's like a jelly, but it's not really. It doesn't have that rigidness or the gelatin type feel to it.
What do you put it on? Like chicken and stuff? Like
chicken?
Meat?
Chutney, like in the Indian context.
Yeah.
It would be with food like rice and dal and dosa. I mean, these are different kinds of breads that you use it. Not dip it in there. Okay.
It's delicious. All right. Those are the underrated condiments for today.
The verse of the day today is coming to us from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God.
You know, I think about that a lot, especially talking about food when you're eating or drinking. But all the things that you do, you know, we do this radio show, number one, to help people. We want people to see the glory of God, but also we do it to glorify God himself. You know what I mean? Like everything we do, we want to just point out how good God is and how great and awesome and majestic that he is. And part of doing this show is also reminding each other and reminding ourselves how good he is.
That's right.
And glorifying him.
Yeah. In all our work, life, daily life, responsibilities, job, neighborhoods, church life, everywhere you are trying to glorify God. So every time you do something, ask yourself, how is God being glorified through this?
Yeah. Especially as a pastor, you want to make sure that you glorify God. And that kind of leads us into our topic today.
Okay.
Dr. Shah sent me a video.
Yeah.
An Instagram video, if you will. And he did not send it to me with the intent of us talking about it on the show. But I felt like when I was talking about it, I did. Oh, you okay? You did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I figured we would end up talking about it. I felt like this is one worth discussing.
Yeah, I thought so too. And I thought it was interesting because especially as we're talking about glorifying God, I felt like maybe we should take a look at maybe how you don't try to glorify God, especially from the pulpit.
Uh-oh.
there's an Instagram video that...
This is an example of what not to do.
Yeah, especially if you're a preacher, if you're a pastor, if you're leading a flock. Maybe you don't do this from the pulpit.
Yeah.
Let's take a look.
So, I want to make myself very clear today. It's on tape, and I want you to look me in my eye.
On tape?
I am not pastoring a church where the teenagers lay all over each other like a bunch of dogs in heat. Fondling each other while I'm trying to preach the word of God in this pulpit. Your kid ain't doing it, and your kid ain't doing it.
Bro, come on.
I have instructed my security staff to pick you up by the seat of the britches and throw your wicked tail out of here. What kind of girl would let a boy follow all over her in the house of God? If you're that wicked to do that in church, what in the... you doing when you're not in church? Ugh. You're not going to play with your cell phone.
It's 8:30
you're not
going to lollygag
around. You're not going to talk. Hey, Justice, look up here. Hey, Justice, look up here while I'm preaching, son. Yeah, I'm preaching all that crap back there, and you included. You ought to have your eyes on your preacher while the man of God's preaching. You shouldn't be falling around. I ain't putting up with it now. I don't give a flip whose kid you are. And I tell you how you parents stop this nonsense. Make your kids sit in the pew with them, and when they act up, smack the living out of them. Now stop this bunch of nonsense. And I'm telling you, I ain't putting up with it.
So,
yikes.
I come here to go to church. I ain't a referee. I ain't fooling around with a bunch of people laughing and giggling.
So Dr. Shah.
That's it? That's where it ends?
That's where it ends. You've been a pastor for...
I'm tight in my chest.
How long
I'm
have you been a
tight.
Pastor? 26, 27 years? Going on 30 years?
I came... It's my first and only church. And I came in 1998 as a youth pastor. And then I came as a pastor. After the pastor left to move back home, I came as... I did some interim work for them and they asked me to be the pastor in 1999. So that would be 25 years.
25 years. Let's say 52 sermons... a year, individual sermons you've read. You've preached well over 800, 900 sermons.
Maybe more.
Out of all of that time, you've gained insight. I'm building up to a question. You've gained insight into what it's like to preach. So you've been in his shoes. Was that forceful preaching, or was that a temper tantrum?
Like,
do you think he really was at the end of his rope there? Or was that just like trying to get the crowd fired up?
Knowing that culture, that is appealing to some people.
Okay.
That's like you telling it like it is. Culture.
Okay.
That doesn't work in every culture. Mm-hmm. It just works in that setting. Like, for example, there's a lady, she doesn't go here anymore. I think she passed away. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But when I first came to church, she said, "You're too nice."
Oh. Really?
"You're too nice." I said, "What do you mean I'm too nice?" "You see, you're too nice. Sometimes you have to, you got to say things to get my attention. I mean, you got to let us have it." I said, "So you want to get angry and stuff?" "Yeah." I said, "How far do I go in doing this?" And she said, "I don't know. But I mean, you should really, you know, because other than that, it doesn't get my attention."
Really? She wanted it.
She wanted that.
That's insane.
Yeah. I mean, there's a place to be passionate and emotive behind the pulpit when you're delivering a message. But anger, like all the time, I don't know that.
Or even to that level. I can see once in a while getting fired up, and I do that too. You know, sometimes you feel like if the mission, if the vision, if the integrity of the Word of God, if the call of the church is being compromised, if the pastor is being sidelined for some other agenda, I will say things. I was like, you know, let me go and tell you this. I love you, and I always will love you. But at the same time, I will not for a minute deviate from the agenda God has called me to do. Okay.
Right.
I'm not saying because I say it that way that it's okay. Because even then I walk away going, oh, I wish I would have found a better way to do that. But in these cultures, really smacking people with words is looked upon as being commendable.
So I noticed that I could understand being like shocked into silence. Like if the preacher's up there and he's just going off on a temper tantrum, because that felt personal. Mm-hmm. That felt like I'm seeing something I don't like and it's not getting fixed
fast enough. He called the kid out by name.
Right. He's like, it's not getting fixed fast enough or at all. So I'm about to go on a tirade. I can understand being like me. I wouldn't be the type that's like going to stand up and be like, "Hey, you can't talk like that from the pulpit." I'm just going to sit in shocked silence. Mm-hmm. What I can't understand is people that are like, "Tell it, preacher. Go on. Yell at me. Cuss out my kids."
That's a culture. It's a culture.
I can't believe that.
It's a culture coming from certain segments of society.
And they love it. Let me ask you this. If he called them privately, if he called one of those congregants into his office privately and did that to them one-on-one, do you think they would still love it? Or would it be like, "I only like it in the context of quote unquote the show?"
A great question.
Because I don't know.
I don't think that person would probably do that in a one-to-one setting.
Really?
I think this is more of a theatrics.
Okay. Public theatrics.
It's theatrics.
It's meant to be kind of a spectacle.
Yeah.
It's meant to get the crowd on my side.
Not crowd on my side as much as getting people to admire me, to prove their loyalty to me. Now, we like loyalty. I'm big on loyalty. I think it's important to be loyal.
Right.
But if you have to do that to be for people to approve that and hence prove their loyalty, I don't know. I don't fit that culture. Mm-hmm.
There's another video where I think this one's kind of crazy. I'm not gonna lie, this one's kind of crazy, but there's another one. You showed me this one, Dr. Shaw. I didn't even know this video existed.
Yeah.
Where a pastor wanted one of his congregants to prove just how loyal he was.
Yeah, let's show that. Yeah, and it's interesting because it's like, by the way, for our listeners, for our viewers, the purpose here is not to make fun of pastors or to, you know, purposely deride them. The main goal here is to say, yes, there are times your pastors have to stand up and call sin, sin. Be grateful you have a pastor like that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, we're called to be shepherds.
That's
shepherds
right.
do not just beat their sheep.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's true.
So don't abuse the sheep. Mm-hmm. At the same time, the shepherd does have a staff.
Yeah.
He does have a rod. And what he's doing with the rod, he's pulling them back in. He's not using them to beat the sheep. Mm-hmm. He's using that to pull them back. So some of my role is to pull them back in.
Great point.
And I do that with words. I do that with remarks. I do that with my tone. Mm-hmm. I do that with the volume of my voice. Mm-hmm. So yes, you can use that hook, the shepherd's crook, to pull them back in.
Right.
But I think this is using the shepherd's crook to beat
to beat the sheep. Yeah.
To beat the sheep. And I think that's what we're trying to say. Don't do it. Yeah, and, and if any pastors listening or church people listening, our goal here is not, again, to make fun of pastors or to, you know, purposely mislabel them. Our goal is to help you so that one day you don't get into a bad situation. I mean, I'm doing so that I will remember this one
day.
That's
true, man. Right. That's true. The goal really is to help. I mean, I know we're laughing and we're kind of making light of it because it's a you know, it's a funny show. But at the same time, you know, pastors are called to help each other. And part of that involves taking a look at what could be called extreme examples.
I'd rather warn you and you avoid a terrible pitfall than to just talk about some theology or history or current events, which is great. They're all wonderful.
Right.
But you make a mistake in your ministry or I make a mistake. I mean, I'm addressing myself here too. I'm warning myself here too. And you make a mistake in your ministry because you're having a bad day or somebody really rubbed you wrong or your blood sugar is low. I mean, that it can happen. I mean, I wonder sometimes some of these guys, is their blood sugar low when they went off on that tirade?
Could be.
I don't know.
Yeah.
So here's another one. Yeah. As you set it up.
And pastor called out and said, Brother Tim Moran, you get up here. Yeah, we'll play this thing through.
Uncomfortable laughter.
Get down on your knees and bark like a dog. Thank you. So that's what.
This is the
thank
crazy.
You, Pastor.
That's crazy.
So that's a reaction that we should have. Brother Terry, and I don't know as if Brother Terry was a hard man. I think he could have been hard in some ways. But, you know, how many of you would stand if that happened to you in the middle of church?
I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't.
You know, there's some we would lose you. There's some we've lost that a whole lot less than that happened. Are you going to stand? Well, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Are you going to stand?
I mean, I'm trying to figure out here. Stand.
That's what I'm wondering.
Like
what's
stand up
point?
And do what's right?
Stand with
or
me?
Or stand with him or be loyal? Or is he talking about?
It's too much. And I agree. I think it's one of the things where there might be some momentary pleasure in it where your people like it. But I think at the end of the day, it's not a long-term solution for keeping people loyal and keeping people on your side. I mean, think about that guy had to go home to his wife. His wife had to see him get down on his knees and bark like a dog in front of the whole church.
She's probably okay with that. She's in that culture.
Really?
It may be okay. Unless it's like this couple, one is loyal, the other one is not into it, or they didn't grow up in the same tradition.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe she is like, I cannot believe this is the man I have married.
Yeah. Mm.
Or she may be right into that culture, which is like, I know why he did that. I mean, no, he's not any less of a man because he is loyal to his pastor. His pastor told him to do it and he did it.
Yeah. Wow.
Because that's what you do. And no, we know our pastor will be there for us and he will. So she may go along with that.
Yeah.
But I just don't think that kind of a test should be a test for loyalty.
There's one more video that is probably one of the most legendary hissies ever thrown. Before we play it, I do want to ask you, because I know we're running short on time, and I want to end with this great gem here.
Oh,
you have.
I know,
you know
who
what's
this
going.
Is.
You know,
oh, dear.
But for in a serious note, when you're up on the pulpit and you're preaching and you see stuff going on that is either distracting or aggravating. Because, I mean, people
I've called
that.
People out.
Yeah, I was going to say, people will do that. They'll laugh and they'll point and they'll make jokes and they'll be nudging each other. They'll be falling asleep. Yeah. How do you present authority without resorting to this?
Yeah.
There have been times I've had to do that. Ryan knows that. You know, there were some youth sitting in the back row and they began to cut up. And I was like, okay, they're just sitting in the back row. It's okay. They're here.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right. And so I kind of moved along, kept talking. And they're like distracting each other and joking with each other and talking and distracting people who are sitting in front rows or rows in front of them. And I could see sometimes the couple sitting in front kind of looked back. So finally I said it. I said, hey, guys, you know, it's very important when you're in church, just sit quietly and listen.
Mm-hmm.
We're here for another 30 minutes at the most.
Mm-hmm.
At the most. and then we'll be done.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's not do that. So I've called people out.
I think you do it in a way that is it still shows your care and your compassion as a pastor. You don't have to be an intransigent. You don't have to be a jerk. It communicates your concern for people and for their spiritual well-being because you want them to listen to the message and not be a distraction to other people.
Very true.
I've had a person who who loved to talk to somebody really loudly.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
And when they did that, I one time I was like, shh.
Yeah. I remember that. But every single time I've ever seen you call people out like that, it always feels like it's the most appropriate way. You don't lose your temper. You don't go on tirades like that. Neither do you do what most pastors do and just ignore it.
Yeah.
Thinking that that's the appropriate thing. By the way, Ryan, great job on getting the secret word past Dr. Shah.
Thank you very much.
Sure you did.
Appreciate. Intransigent.
Did you really? Yeah.
I didn't even hear it.
Yeah. I think it has a G in the pronunciation, so I think it's Gint. Intransigent.
It might be. But anyway, either way, great job.
Thank you very much.
But that was you're the first one to actually get the secret word through.
That's funny.
I've always felt like the way that you do it, it's the wisest way in the moment. You know, it's never meant to humiliate someone.
Yeah.
But also it doesn't cede your authority to whoever's cutting up in the congregation.
So do we get to watch the classic?
Let's do it.
Let's watch it.
Y'all all know what it is.
Oh,
Mr. Stanridge himself. Let me hear what's going
nice
on, Jim.
Nice little whirlians.
Amen, sir.
He's from New Orleans, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Are y'all keeping the camera on me back there in the little video room?
Oh, boy.
I've seen this video so many times.
We're having trouble in the video room. There's no one finer.
Look at the size of that pulpit.
Back there.
And that's
he
a
comes
huge
down here and
pulpit.
Spends hours in that thing. But he has a little attitude adjustment that we're going to fix. Brother Cox, you listening? Because Mother Cox, I can fix your attitude adjustment. And I don't care what your mama thinks and your daddy thinks. And I don't have a better friend than your mama. But mama, you get out of my way when I'm messing with that boy because I'm his preacher. I'm yours when I'm talking
pause
to
for
you.
A second.
But I'm
have
his
you ever, I meant
I'm
to ask you this earlier.
You.
Have you ever been in the congregation when you saw a pastor go off the rails? Or has it always been in video?
No, I've never seen that in person.
Can you tell, when you watch videos like this, can you tell the moment like, yep, we're off the rails at this point. We're in for it.
Yeah, because I haven't been in that culture, so I don't know. Now, my dad would be, but he would not do all this. He would do the way I did it. And like, hey, excuse me, kids, you need to listen. Or, you know, sometimes adults would talk and he would call them out and say, please listen. You're disturbing other people and that's enough. Or something like that, but not like this.
Not like this.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, he's like calling and then getting
on. And last I checked, he's a grown man.
Come on, man. Brother Cox.
And that video room ain't going to be a youth hangout.
Oh, there it is. Oh,
you can tell that's been bothering him for a
while.
I
think it's bothering him.
We might as well just fix this thing.
Here we go.
Oh.
Here we go. He's squaring up.
That was.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Well, if you don't know what you're doing wrong, son, you don't care
about what
about
I want
what
to do.
I want
dude's
to do
about
right.
to drop the coldest line of all
because
time.
Because if you loved me and you submitted to me, you'd know what my heart is and my message is, and you wouldn't go about establishing your own kingdom in the video room.
Hey,
yep, there it is.
There it is, brother.
Don't build
there
your own kingdom in the video
don't
room.
Build your
don't
own
do it.
Kingdom.
Don't do it.
Dude, I wanted to get a I wanted to do this in our video room, in our new video room. I haven't told Nicholas about it, but I wanted to get a like a sign, like a poster that said IYLM, like all the letters.
Oh,
to
yeah.
say, if you love me and you submit it to me, you know my heart is. Brother, it's Jim Stanridge. Thank you for that.
A gem of videos.
We're really not making fun of you. I love that video so much. Yeah. I've watched it so many times.
Don't build your own kingdom in the video room.
Don't do it.
If I can read some scriptures,
yes,
hopefully
please.
That will bring us on a positive note.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
And I need to hear this verse. There are two verses I want to read. The first one is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 2. It says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. I mean, we have to kind of keep an eye on what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's not wrong. That's actually what is expected of pastors. Not by compulsion, but willingly.
Hmm.
Okay, so again, I haven't looked at the Greek in detail here, But it's, I don't think it's talking about you compelling other people as much as you are compelled to do this, mm-hmm. but you're doing this willingly. Mm-hmm. Shepherding the flock of God as overseers, as serving as overseers, is something I do willingly.
That's right.
That we should do willingly. Not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples mm-hmm. to the flock. Mm-hmm. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away.
That's right.
So I have to do all those things in light of the fact that one day I'll have to face the chief shepherd.
Amen.
If you guys enjoyed today's episode, write in and let us know, 252-582-5028, or you can visit us online at clearviewtodayshow.com. Don't forget, you can partner with us financially on that same website. Scroll to the bottom, click that donate button, and let us know it's coming from our Clearview Today Show family. In case you want to know, an intransigent is someone who is stubborn or unwilling to move on an extreme position.
Someone who refuses to compromise or abandon an extreme position.
There you go. That's your word of the
day. Or attitude. Make sure you pick up Dr. Shaw's and Nicole's book, 30 Days of Praying for America. Election Day is coming very, very, very quickly. Is right. I think it's in 4 days.
Yeah.
So make sure you pick up this book right now. It's not too late. You can also get our debut album, Heaven Here and Now, on iTunes and Spotify right now, anywhere that digital music is sold.
Lots of great content coming your way. Make sure you guys join us. We love you guys. We'll see you tomorrow on Clearview Today.